Good morning, everybody. Stephen Molyneux from Free Domain. Hope you're doing well. 4th of January, 2026. Oh, Lord, isn't that wild. Thank you for the donation, and thank you for the support for freedomain.com/donate. We'll start off with a wee tiny bit of politics, then we're going to go for locals, for donor only, where we can chat if you like. But yesterday, interesting news out of the socialist slash communist narco dictatorship in Venezuela. U.S. Special Forces yesterday conducted a military operation in Caracas, Venezuela, and they captured President Nicolas Maduro and his wife, Celia Flores. They were flown out of the country and transferred to U.S. custody in New York to face federal charges. President Trump announced the operation, describing it as a large-scale strike executed in coordination with law enforcement to apprehend Maduro on long-standing U.S. indictments. Maduro arrived in New York and is being held in federal detention with arraignment expected soon. What mean? It's really quite fascinating. So these key charges from the U.S. Department of Justice accuse Maduro and others of narco-terrorism conspiracy, cocaine importation conspiracy, illegal possession of machine guns, and destructive devices. These stem from 2020 allegations that Maduro's government partnered in drug trafficking to flood the U.S. with cocaine. A $50 million reward has been offered for information leading to his arrest. So the raid involved airstrikes on military sites, the two air bases, La Carlota and Foretta Diona. Sorry for my butchering. If you think I'm butchering that, you should see how I cook at tapas. So they wanted to suppress defenses, and then there was a helicopter assault on Maduro's location. U.S. officials, including Secretary of State Marco Rubio and Joint Chiefs Chairman General Dan Kane, described it as meticulously planned with CIA intelligence support. No U.S. casualties were reported, though some Venezuelan forces resisted. Trump has stated that the U.S. would temporarily run Venezuela during a transition, raising questions about governance. Vice President Deasy Rodriguez has assumed acting leadership in Caracas and condemned the action as a violation of sovereignty. Oh, of course. People imagine that there's such a thing as international law. It's what you can do, what you can enforce. It's same as any law. So, some Latin American leaders and Venezuelan opposition or exiles, they celebrated it as ending a dictatorship. From Venezuelan allies like Russia, China, Cuba, and Colombia's President Gustavo Petro calling it illegal aggression. Mixed from the EU and the UN emphasizing respect for international law while noting Maduro's lack of legitimacy post-disputed elections. Legal debates center on whether the operation violated sovereignty versus enforcing a U.S. warrant against an indicted figure. Parallels are drawn to past U.S. actions like the capture of Panama's Manuel Noriega, old pockmarked pineapple face, in 1989. So, of course, I've been talking about this for many years. I was on Joe Rogan talking about this like a decade ago. I've talked about it for decades. I wrote about it in my novel. You don't need a war if you just take out the leader. You just need to take out the leader. So in my novel, The Future, there is a threatened war from a military leader overseas to the anarcho-capitalist society. And they say, yeah, well, you can certainly declare war against us. We've got bioweapons that target your genetics, but we couldn't get them specific enough that it was only your genetics. So it might also affect your family. So it's up to you. But that's what's going to happen. And miraculously, peace is achieved. Peace is achieved. So, Venezuela, of course, is a textbook example of the catastrophe that awaits those who turn to socialism, of course, right? If you look at Venezuela's wealth relative to, say, Poland's wealth, when Poland was more socialist and Venezuela was more free market, they've switched places because Venezuela adopted socialism or had socialism enforced, however you want to put it, and Poland went towards the free market, so they've switched places in terms of wealth. Socialism is just a stupid bribery of failures with the proceeds of the more competent, so they don't have to work and they get stuff for free. And it is fundamentally provoking a kind of parasitism on the true working class, which are those who actually provide value in the free market. So it's very sad. It's very sad. And people, you know, when I pointed this out, people are like, well, I support you. I suppose you support the non-aggression principle. It's like, do you think that dictators violate the non-aggression principle? Do you think I care what happens to particularly a socialist dictator? Now, what's going to be very interesting, of course, is, and, you know, this is in the realm of who knows, right? This is in the realm of who knows. But there is, there have been reports for many years that Venezuela and voting machines and so on had some effect on the 2020 election. And who knows what's going to come out of that? It'll be hard to believe anything because, I mean, I'm basically skeptical towards just about anything these days. But it would be interesting to see if there's anything that comes out of this regarding the 2020 election. And I know, like, it's a real rat's nest, rabbit warren, deep hole, deep dive, and all of this kind of stuff. But there certainly does seem to be some questions about that. Now, according to Grok, the capture of Maduro has no direct correlation to claims about the 2020 U.S. presidential election. The operation was explicitly based on longstanding U.S. federal indictments from March 2020, charging Maduro and others, including his wife, with narco-terrorism, conspiracy, cocaine importation, and illegal weapons possession. These stem from allegations that Maduro's regime partnered with Colombian rebels to traffic massive quantities of cocaine into the U.S. A reward has been in place since then. This is the one that was mentioned, for $50 million. And the raid is sort of portrayed as law enforcement action to apprehend an indicted fugitive supported by military force, and so on. Now, some people have claimed Venezuelan interference in the 2020 U.S. election via voting software, and Trump has occasionally referenced rigged elections in broader contexts. This does seem to be focused on the narco-terrorism and the drug shipments and so on. But it is quite fascinating to see how theories are born out. That my sort of theory. And Trump, of course, is a free market guy. He comes out of the free market. And so he's going to look for, in general, this is going to be the approach. He's going to look for the most efficient, cost-effective, quick, easy, and bloodless operation. And rather than a war, you simply go and take the leader. These days, especially with the satellite systems and all of that, GPS, you know where people are. You just go and get them. Can this be abused? Well, of course, it can all be abused, blah, blah, blah. But the point is that my argument about war has been you target the leaders. Because it's the leaders who determine, especially in a dictatorship, the leaders determine whether there's a war or not. And all of these people on the left, it's kind of funny, they're all like, well, he didn't declare war. And it's like, you know, that every president does that. Every president does these extra congressional military actions, police action. The declaration of war is as dead as the dodo, as far as all of this stuff goes. But it is pretty wild to see the party that completely opened the borders and refused to enforce the law now talking about the importance of law. I don't know. It's still, it's like the communists, you know, you're on stolen land because, you know, 400 years ago there was a war which one group lost and the other group won, which is how everyone's on any land at all. Historically, they're on stolen land. It's like communists stole like a third of the entire planet and murdered 100 million plus people. And they did all of that a little bit more recently than South Africa was settled or Australia was settled or North America was settled and so on. And most of the people who died in North America died from diseases. They didn't even have a germ theory. They didn't know what was going on. They actually tried to inoculate the natives against smallpox in North America, in America. So the communists, it's just such wild projection. It's like, it's the level of psychological maturity of a woman who's having an affair and her husband starts to get suspicious and then she just accuses him of having an affair and goes on the attack. Puts you on the back foot. It's this great British phrase, like if you're about to be hit, you jerk back, you're on the back foot, you're already on the defensive. And so, stolen land. How did the communists get Russia or Cuba, China, North Korea, Vietnam? How did they get those? Through trade? Through negotiation? Through peace? Nope. They just took them through force. So yeah, it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild. And hopefully people are starting to see this kind of hypocrisy for what it is. It's just projection. Confession through projection. Somebody wrote Samala Houle, H-O-O-L-E. What is his little picture here? Does he have abs? He's got my abs. I was looking for those. Children instinctively reject vegetables, he wrote. This isn't picky eating, it's toxin detection. Young children refuse bitter foods. Bitterness signals plant toxins. Prefer sweet foods, quick energy, historically rare. Prefer fatty foods, calorie dense, building blocks. Refuse vegetables unless masked with fat, salt, sugar. Parents have to hide vegetables in other foods, bribe children to eat them, force compliance with three more bites, cover them in cheese or butter to make them palatable. No parent forces children to eat bacon. No child needs bribes to eat butter. Kids don't reject meat and fat. They request it because instincts evolved over millions of years recognized optimal nutrition. Then we override those instincts with agricultural propaganda. Eat your vegetables is cultural programming, not biological wisdom. Children are detecting plant defense chemicals their bodies know to avoid. We call it picky eating. It's actually intelligent eating, which I thought was a pretty interesting. I don't know if it's true or not. I mean, I don't mind the taste of vegetables. I eat them. I think, you know, it's good for roughage and all of that. And I like a salad, but I'm always have to order if I'm at a restaurant, and I use dressing very sparingly. I really, really dislike, I like a nice Caesar salad, but I really dislike the Caesar soup. You know, they just bring you a bowl of Caesar salad dressing with a couple of croutons and scraps of lettuce in it. I don't like that at all. But also, somebody wrote, tattoo ink accumulates in lymph nodes, causes long-term inflammatory response, may be permanent. Many inks are carcinogenic. Studies show 21% increased risk of lymphoma and other cancers. Protect your lymph nodes, don't get tattoos. And again, I obviously can't verify this based upon the source data. 2024 Swedish population-based study confirms that tattooed individuals face a 21% higher risk of malignant lymphoma compared to non-tattooed peers, adjusted for factors like age and smoking. And I have, of course, I remember, you know, it sucks being early. Oh, thank you, Richard. I appreciate that. It kind of sucks being early with all of these things. Richard Happer, PhD physicist, is in the news for talking about global warming, and I interviewed the guy like a decade ago. So, it sucks being early. I mean, there's almost no benefit. I mean, you could say, yes, but, you know, you get the medal of being first or, you know, early, and it's like, yeah, it just generally sucks as a whole, being early. But, yeah, so I remember talking about tattoos, not in terms of this, but just in terms of tattoos and mental illness and all that kind of stuff. I didn't have these studies, you know, 15 years ago, and taking all kinds of hell because of that. I thought this was interesting. Stefan Schubert, like me, and a guy who can play piano. He said, I think intuitive psychology findings are underrated. Pickiness for physical attractiveness increased men's years as single. Overall pickiness increased women's years in uncommitted relationships. Yeah, because if you're a woman and you choose a guy who's superior to you in some way, then you can have a relationship, but you cannot get married. He'll date you. He might even live with you. He'll certainly have sex with you, but you really can't get him to commit to you. And so if you aim too high, so yeah, pickiness for physical attractiveness increased men's years as single. Overall pickiness increased women's years in uncommitted relationships. And let's do one more and then we'll go private for a being early pays off. You have a credit for being the first internet ANCAP. Okay, what is that credit exactly? What is that credit? What does that do for me? What does it do for me? I mean, credit, okay, like maybe, you know, in a generation after I'm dead and gone, people are like, yeah, that guy was early. That was cool. Like, yes, but, you know, forgive me for wanting something other than, you know, hatred, deplatforming, opprobrium, and endless hostility in my life, right? In my life. I can understand it, like, when communication was slower back in the day. And I do see occasionally people are saying, oh, yeah, Steph was talking about this 10 years ago or 20 years ago or whatever. but it's in our minds, grants legitimacy. Well, I don't need legitimacy to be granted, honestly. My legitimacy is gained by talking and publishing in accordance with reason and evidence, and being, you know, at least relatively unafraid of hostility. But yeah, being early is, you know, the tip of the spear gets broken off, right? It's like if you're in a battle, like in World War One, and you're the first guy charging into no man's land. What's the benefit? I mean, I honestly, I think society needs to find a way to benefit people who were right, who were early and right. I don't know. Maybe in an ANCAP society, this could be better determined. But society needs to figure out how to reward people who are early and hated and right. Early, hated, and right. I don't know, because right now the disincentives are huge and the incentives, like, I don't get anything back, right? So, yes, but psychologically, but I knew I was right anyway. So I don't, like, it's not like, oh, I'm confirmed, right? I have to believe that matters. Okay, but then that's honest. I appreciate that. So you think it's important to believe for reasons of motivation, not for reasons of evidence or facts. Like, what do I get back? Like, I spent 15 years building up an audience of a couple mil on social media and, you know, had a decent income for all of that. And that was all taken away 5.5 years ago. And it doesn't come back, right? It doesn't come back. And listen, it's a fine life. And as far as people who've been early and right and hated, I have done much better than most people throughout human history. And most people throughout human history who are early, right, and hated do much worse. So I'm not, you know, this isn't a giant complaint about anything other than the incentive is messed up. In the current society, the incentive is messed up. Like, here's the thing, and I know this from the business world, right? So if you're early and right in the business world, you make a fortune, right? I was saying this the other day that I was cleaning out something in my basement, and I came across from 2004 an award I got from Microsoft for technological innovation and good use of their products. I was the first person to ship Access 2000 a database front-end solution that they knew of, and they really admired the code and all of that. So I got a nice award. So being early and right in the business world, I mean, in the stock world, in the investing world, being early and right makes you a fortune. In the moral world, being early and right gets you hemlock, tied to a stake, or deplatformed. So the incentives are bad. All right. So sorry, let me just see what you guys have to say. Is the reason eating meat is morally permissible that the animals in question don't have the capacity to agree to act according to the NAP? Yeah, you can't negotiate with animals. They don't have conceptual language or reason. They can't engage in any contracts. So vindication, if you will. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you rarely live to see the vindication. So even in science, don't they say science advances one funeral at a time? Well, but you're not hated in that same way in science. And that's government science. Can you imagine if Apple had to wait for its old engineers to die off before it could release a new iPhone? Can you imagine that? Imagine if Google had to wait for its old engineers to die off before it could change anything about its search engine. So, no, it's not. It's not that. It's not that. Oh, yeah, no, a few million listeners. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I had a million on, well, actually would have had way more than a million. They kept, because they didn't want to give me the million prize, like you get a little thing on YouTube. So they kept taking away my followers to keep me back from a million. So I would have had at least 1.5 million, I think. I had 500,000 on X. I had bunch of scattered all over various other platforms. So yeah, it's a couple of million. I mean, I was doing, you know, at least 10 million views and downloads a month and 100,000 books. And yeah, no, it was a huge deal. I was the, you know, at that point I was the biggest intellectual in the world. as far as numbers went and reach and all of that. So yeah, it was a very big deal. It was a very big deal. And there's no apologies. There's no circling back. There's no, oh gosh, well, we took stuff away from you unjustly. We're going to give you some restitution and sorry and come back in from the cold and right. I mean, there's the occasional nods in your direction, but look, I'm not saying don't be early. I'm not saying don't be right. I'm not saying don't be hated. I'm not sure I would have done anything differently no matter what. I'm just saying that the incentives are weird and bad, and this is why people don't do it. Joe asks, Steph, how many millions of dollars do you think you lost from deplatforming? Scott Adams says he lost $100 million. Well, it ain't that. I'll tell you, it ain't that. I don't know. I'm not sure I would even run those numbers. I mean, what's the point? What's the point? Somebody says, wow, I had no idea you had a few million listeners. We got to get you back and spread philosophy and peaceful parenting far and wide. Thanks for the answer. Following it, shouldn't this not apply to animals that don't kill other animals because they act out of NAP? No, they don't act out of NAP. What do you mean? I mean, are you saying that the vegetarian animals, that a rabbit follows the non-aggression principle because it doesn't eat the wolf? No, the rabbit eats the grass and not the wolf because the rabbit is hungry for the grass and can't eat the wolf. All right, so let me just see here. I remember when they banned Steph and then pushed the intellectual dark web dorks. Yeah. Yeah. All right. No, it doesn't kill weaker animals. Yeah, and they don't, not following the non-aggression principle. That's like saying that a dead guy is following the non-aggression principle because he's not harming anyone. It's like he has no capacity to. So I do not think that quite follows. And you could argue, of course, that even rabbits kill other rabbits. And we know this because if you take away the predators from rabbits, what happens is they eat all the grass, all the vegetation, and then the rabbits all starve. So the rabbits cause each other's death through overeating. So rabbits actually kill way more rabbits than predators do. Predators killing rabbits is the least amount of rabbits that can die, because rabbits are selected, R, like the letter R, which means that they have no particular restraint on reproduction or eating, and they will eat and reproduce without limit because the limit is imposed by predation. So rabbits kill all the rabbits unless the rabbits are killed by predators. A certain portion of the rabbits are killed by predators, and that's how they've evolved. So there's this one video of a deer scarfing a squirrel because it got too close. What does scarfing mean? Does that mean eating it? Scarfing down? I think that means eating it, but I didn't even know that deer could eat squirrels. But let's just do a couple of questions here. Maybe I'll do a donor show a little later. But these are great questions. Alex Press wrote on X, there's this guy, the New Yorker, is a magazine, I think famously anti-white male in terms of its short stories. And this woman says she was particularly puzzled by the magazine's tolerance and ongoing paychecks for the longtime staffers who failed to produce any writing of note. The most egregious example was Joseph Mitchell, a legendary chronicler of New York City life who walked into the office every weekday morning, shut his door, and then departed around 5 p.m. Since 1964, he had not published a word. What an absolute nightmare. What a... Because people are like, this is the life, the dream. I can't imagine. So somebody says, so he started working at the paper in 1938. By 1964, he'd been there 25 years. He could call it retired on duty or moving to emeritus status. I think it a reasonable way of characterizing his continued employment was that it was basically a sinecure for his years of service. But why? Why does everybody want a job where you get paid for nothing? What an absolute nightmare. Wouldn't that be an absolute nightmare? Absolute waste of your life. An absolute waste of your life. Apparently, Duran Duran is still playing in Vegas. There's an 80s band, still riding high, running strong. Good-looking band, man. the name's Bond. Simon Le Bon. Yeah, because they did a View to a Kill. They did a song for a Bond movie. I always thought that was kind of funny. All right. Sorry, let me just get to your comments and questions. Legumes, says neo-modern Christianity. Legumes. Is that the elf from... Okay, never mind. Legumes fix nitrogen from the atmosphere, and that's the layer of biology where you get initial 3D orthogonal molecular bonds to generate spiraling geometries like proteins for P equals NP biocomplexity. I'm not even going to pretend to understand that. I like your typing, though. I assume that there's no spelling errors. That's some good typing. The leftists help their own. They even pay guys for not even publishing or working. Tech bros can't even help people that defend them. Yeah, we were talking about that on Friday, right? Yeah, it's pretty tragic. It's really pretty, pretty tragic. So, and now that the Trump administration has unraveled all of the absolute anti-white male hellscape of DEI and, quote, diversity, which is not diversity at all, but just anti-whiteism, now they're saying, oh, maybe we went a bit too far. How does that help people? You know, because institutions continue, we forget that individuals grow and die. I mean, not to toot my own horn, I was recognized as sort of one of the top two stars at McGill University, and I was recognized as a real star where I got an A on a very challenging thesis involving the entire history of philosophy at my graduate degree at U of T, and nobody wanted to mentor me to go on, right? And I could see the diversity stuff. It wasn't formal, but it was definitely coming, and you could sort of see, because people were saying, oh, all these professors are going to retire. It's like, yeah, but they're not going to replace them with white males. So a career in academia, which was definitely in the offing based upon my performance, a career in academia was just not going to happen for me because of my race and my sex, because I'm a white male, perhaps the whitest and perhaps the malest, but I am a white male, and so doors were closed. Now, I managed to carve out a career in other areas, which was good, and, you know, you adapt, and I ended up being grateful for all of that in the long run. But I happen to have business skills, computer skills, and public speaking skills, and philosophy skills. Like, not everyone has that. I happen to have just a divergence of skills that allow me to adapt to various environments and be successful. But not everyone has that. Some people are just kind of designed for academia. I mean, you can't imagine some dusty old English professor running a medium-sized software company, right? That's not going to happen, right? So some people are more specialized towards academia, and those people just got fucking gutted and eviscerated. They got disemboweled by all of this stuff, and it happened 40 years ago for me, for 35 years ago. And they're never going to get their lives back. I mean, I was able to adapt to a different kind of life, but that's not for everyone. I just happen to have a wide variety of skills. I'm lucky that way. I'm not claiming any particular virtue or value out of it. More value, yes, but I didn't earn it. I just happened to adapt to it. So there are people who, instead of having academic careers, they ran some bookstore that went under, and then they tried real estate but didn't have the social skills, and they just kind of puttered and diddled along where they could have been real academic stars just because they were white males. And that's why when Harvard was talking about, oh, well, maybe we went a little bit too far, it's like restitution or get stuffed. Well, if people who apologize without restitution, they're just manipulative assholes. Really, just, I mean, okay, you can't make it up to someone. If 40 years ago, some guy who could have been a fantastic academic was rejected just because he was a white male and he didn't happen to have the coincidental spread of other skills that I have, then he ended up with a nothing life where he could have been a real star. He ended up with a feeling of discontent, frustration, and anger that he was denied his place of greatest productivity and joy. And there's no restitution. You can't make him whole. You can't make him whole. You know, if there's some douchebag who strings along a woman from 35 to 40 and then dumps her, he can't give her the children that she didn't get because she's in her 40s now and the chance of getting children is virtually zero. So people don't understand. They think, well, okay, so that's good. So the DEI stuff, it's good. That's been somewhat reversed and blah, 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 numbers. But what about, I think about, you know, the poor bastards who were born in 1917 and died in 1980 in Russia. Ah, communism ended. Yeah, but it consumed entire people's lives. I mean, he got killed under communism or incarcerated. He certainly lost massive amounts of economic opportunities. Under communism, lived under fear his whole life. And we look at these institutions and we forget that if the institutions change over time, well, there are still individuals whose entire lives have been destroyed who cannot be made whole. Somebody writes, deer have been caught on camera eating other dead deer. Most herbivores will eat meat if they find it. Interesting. Steph, when you were looking for a job after you sold your tech company, why do you think it was difficult to get a job? Did they start doing DEI since way back? Oh, yeah. In my early 20s, I worked part-time, or at least I worked summers, in an HR department in a major Canadian corporation, and the DEI stuff was massive there already. This is almost 40 years ago. Oh, yeah, it's huge. Huge. And the amount of, I knew someone many years ago who proposed a profit-sharing plan for people who contributed significantly to company value. And he was told that they could never implement such a plan because it would have disproportionate impact on various ethnicities. Now, this is portrayed as cultural. You know, we probably know the answer is a little different. But basically, if you say any employee who works extra hard and adds a lot of value to the company or saves a lot of money or whatever should share in that profit, everybody knows that it's the higher IQ people who are going to end up benefiting the most from that, and then it's going to have disparate impact and they can't do it. Right? So, I mean, the amount of productivity that is lost is just absolutely staggering. Absolutely staggering. Robert Sterling wrote and pointed out, it's a very good thing, regime change in Iraq. 150,000 U.S. troops, hundreds of neocon war planners, $3 trillion cost, 4,431 heroes killed in action. It's interesting that he doesn't mention the 500,000 Iraqi dead. So that was regime change in Iraq. Regime change in Venezuela. One platoon of Delta Bros, raid planned by Barron and Marco Rubio from a Mar-a-Lago pool cabana yesterday, cost a few tanks of JPA chopper fuel and a six-pack of Diet Coke for Trump. Zero U.S. casualties. Trump really is just better at the game. All right, so let's see here. Beverages are infinite, this is our person who does not necessarily understand the audience he's talking to in great detail. Beverages are infinitely more important than institutions for two reasons. Beverages are more important than institutions. Constant chemical exposure, especially in economic depression and socializing a work anchor where food is simply too much. Sorry, don't follow. Yeah, so a rabbit in a habitat where there's not enough grass for all rabbits by eating grass is violating the NAP. They got to the available resource that belonged to no one. First, the reason this violates NAP because it's a property violation because there is an implicit principle that each rabbit has a right to the same amount of grass resources as no rabbit produces the grass they have stumbled upon it, as we've stumbled upon the resources we use. No, but that's not it. So the rabbits will all die unless the NAP is violated, right? So if wolves and foxes and owls and so on don't eat the rabbits, then all the rabbits die. So if some of the rabbits aren't killed, then all of the rabbits die. And so the reason that the rabbits survive is violations of the NAP. They cannot survive without violations of the NAP because either they get eaten by predators, which is a violation of the NAP, or they consume all of the available resources, which is a violation of the NAP. And the reason that they consume all of the available resources is there's no such thing as property rights in the animal kingdom. I mean, there's territory, I get all of that, but there's no such thing as abstract property rights, right? So because everything is in common, everything is socialized, right? The grass is to the rabbits as fiat currency is to the democratic population. They just consume everything until it self-destructs. So it's an absence of property rights that causes all of that, but they have no capacity for property rights. I look around in my area at the businesses and there are hardly ever any white males. Right. Yeah, so DEI is to reduce a white family formation. Dun, dun. All right. Let's do one or two more. Very nice chatting with you guys this morning. Very nice. Very nice. This is interesting. Head King's Mindset wrote, when her boss talks, she doesn't talk back. When her boss calls her, she responds immediately. When her pastor talks, she doesn't talk back. But when it's time to shut up, when her husband is talking, you all draw the line. Fools. Yeah, that is something that I mentioned in my recent novel, which you should definitely check out, called Dissolution, about how the woman respects all male authority except her husband's. All right, so what do we got here? Oh, it's a bit long. Maybe I'll do that one another time. Sorry, I'm just trying. I find this interesting, this text. This is from the fellow who is a little confusing. You weren't titillated enough, I see. So yes, bald eagles can be saved by reinforcing ground cover legumes. And the same lack of them causes wasting disease in deer. Prions are flat proteins, not 3D. You know, I got to tell you, I'm sure you're very, very smart. And I'm sure you have fantastic stuff to say. But you do not explain it very well. He says, and cancer is cellular de-differentiation for lack of the nitrogen and ammonia mechanisms that allow specialized roles in 3D biological systems. And legumes can treat rabies. Okay, sorry, it's a bit of a word salad for me. You can sometimes compress things to the point where it's like looking at the source file of a zip document. Somebody said, I heard a therapist say, people who need therapy don't come to us, their victims do. That is very interesting. People who need therapy don't come to us, their victims do. And that's very, very true. That's very true. Taylor Sterling wrote, Terence McKenna hit his bad trip. Ram Dass had sex with his students. Alan Watts drank himself to death. Every guru is hiding something. Be your own. Well, not every. Not every. Not every. Andrew Branca wrote, there is no practicable way to prosecute 100,000 Somali thieves. It's literally not possible. There are not enough prosecutors, not enough courts, not enough judges, not enough jurors. And that's important. This is another reason why you're not going to get satisfaction. All of that. This is interesting. I did do some cursory checks to see if this is true, and it does seem to be fairly true. Somebody says, we now have clear evidence that the COVID-19 mRNA shots have crippled the reproductive capacity of humanity. In animal models, they destroy about 60% of women's finite egg supply. In human data, N equals 1.3 million, vaccinated women have 33% fewer successful pregnancies than unvaccinated. Because, you know, there are these creepy people who want to reduce the population. Who knows? Who knows? All right. Well, listen, I'm going to stop here. I have a bunch of work to do today, and I really do enjoy these chats. I really do appreciate you guys dropping by freedomain.com/donate if you would like to help out the show. I really would appreciate it. And yeah, if you have any ideas about how you could change incentives so that those who are early and right can get at least some reward at some point, I'd be very curious about that. I'd love to hear your thoughts about that. You can always email me, support@freedomain.com. Thanks, everybody, so much. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day. Lots of love up here. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.